There are many people you can point to as pioneers, advocates for people in pain. Penny Cowan has been doing so for 30 years since starting the American Chronic Pain Association in 1980. Penny Cowan joins us now on the Bioethics Channel. Penny, you came to this point as someone who lived with chronic pain. Share your story with us, if you would, and how your own pain situation led to the development of the American Chronic Pain Association.
I am a person with pain, and for 6 years I looked for that answer for them to take away my pain. I looked to all the healthcare community that was available to me, and while they tried something and it didn't work, the bottom line was you're just going to have to learn to live with it. And I thought, you know, if I just knew what it was, then I could live with it. And it took 6 years to get that diagnosis, and once they told me what it was, which I have fibromyalgia, they said, you're going to have to learn to live with it. But I was very fortunate to be able to be referred to the Cleveland Clinic, and there was a new physician there who had just started, and the doctor said, quote unquote, he says he can help you live with pain. And I thought, yeah, right. So I actually went there to fail. I didn't believe that this was going to help me at all.
You were a bit of a skeptic then.
I was very much a skeptic, and I was done after 6 years of not being able to function and do what I wanted to do as a mother, a wife. Just holding a cup of coffee was really difficult for me. I went into the pain program in every sense of the word a patient. I left there in every sense of the word a person. So I really was able to go from patient to person, but it took a lot of effort. And the interesting thing about any pain management program is that it really takes your own personal involvement. And so they taught me how to do that. And I always like to look at me when I explain to people who I talk to now about, you know, what worked for me, and I always reference back those first 6 years of they tried something and it didn't work, so they stopped it. They tried something else, it didn't work, and so they thought, let's try something else. And it's sort of like we came up with the analogy of a car, and a person with pain is like a car, but our car has four flat tires. And if you just put air in one of those tires, whether it's the appropriate medication or not, you're not going to go anywhere because you still have three flat tires. The problem is that our expectation is the pill, take it away, and that's all I need. Where, in fact, maybe it's giving you 20 or 30% relief. Let's look and see what else you need. So while I was at the clinic, they filled up all four of my tires. And the leaving message was that you have to maintain your own wellness. We've done our job. Now it's up to you. And so I knew that I was not the only person out there in the world who had pain. There were other people in the unit. Initially, I thought I was the only person, and no one understood. There's a lot of other people out there with pain.
So there's an interstate with cars out there with all their tires flat.
Yeah.
As an example.
Right. And if you look at the Institute of Medicine report, there's over 116 million people in this country that are living with some form of pain that, you know, haven't heard that you can live with it. And so that was really my message, was that you can, if you take an active role, if you learn the right coping skills with the appropriate medical treatment, working with your healthcare team, you can live with pain. And the other part of it was my own personal fear, because a lot of things had worked for me over those 6 years, and then they'd stop. And I was afraid that if I didn't maintain my wellness, and if I didn't continue to do what I learned to do there, it might not work anymore. So I was able to maintain my wellness over the last 31 years and also reach out and help another person.
6 years sounds like a long time, but I hope it's not typical of an individual in pain that they have to go through that long of a process in order to find some kind of relief.
For somebody who has what I have, fibromyalgia, the average is 3 to 5 years. There's a lot of other people who will have failed back surgery, and so they may have had a back problem, had surgery, didn't go as planned. A little bit later, they have another surgery and another surgery. And so it just continues on and on. I mean, we've had people who have called us with 25 back surgeries, and they're still looking for a way to get rid of the pain. And you may never be able to get rid of the pain. And the whole goal of pain management is not to get rid of the pain. It's to improve the quality of your life, increase your function, and reduce your sense of suffering.
Is it hard for people to accept that? You made reference earlier to the idea of, let's take a pill, and that'll address the issue. Is it hard for people to take that leap across that barrier, so to speak?
Well, I think it is because we expect, you know, everything is instant in our world anymore. You know, we have instant everything. And so why should we have to wait? And if you look what medicine can do today, they can give you new hearts, new lungs, new livers. They're now being successful with face transplants. It doesn't make sense that they can't take away that pain in your back. And so we keep asking ourselves, there's got to be that one answer. I mean, that's always been our expectation, the quick fix. No one's ever said, you know what, you have to be part of that treatment team. You have to share some of that responsibility. And that's the way it is with a person with pain. We have to be an active participant, not that passive patient.
Over 30 years, has anything come to surprise you, or is it kind of a sense of deja vu all over again? I've seen this before. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Well, I think initially when I left the pain program, there were a lot more interdisciplinary pain programs sprouting up across the country. You know, CARF, the Commission on Accreditation and Rehabilitation Facilities, had probably about 2,000 accredited programs in their list. That built for about 5, 6, maybe 10 years at the very most. And then all of a sudden, they started dwindling away. So what we're finding now is that there's less and less opportunity for people to get the full program all at once. So they're still getting those piecemeals of pain management, and that's harder to do than the whole program at once, where you can put the physical therapy, you can put maybe the biofeedback, acupuncture, whatever it is they need, it all needs to be put together in a comprehensive program. So what we're trying to do is educate people that, you know, you need more than just one thing. That's why we came up with the car analogy. Again, I think the Institute of Medicine report is going to help because they talked a lot about interdisciplinary pain management. Hopefully that's going to carry some weight in the future to increase pain management across the board for primary cares, for nurses, physician assistants, physical therapists, so that they get more education around pain and pain management.
Education was one of the big factors in the Institute of Medicine report in June 2011. What else jumped out at you as far as that report goes that you felt was something that was encouraging, that if implemented, might be something that will help people in pain?
Well, I really think that the education of healthcare providers is critical. So many of them have never been trained. If they get 2 hours of pain management and all the training they get, and so a lot of times when they're telling you to learn to live with it, it's not that they don't care, it's they don't know how to tell you to live with it. They've never been taught. And that's why it's so important for us to begin to educate the nurses, the physician assistants, the physicians, all of them that treat people with pain. I think another very important piece for me was the fact that there was a piece of education, but it was for, and they call them the patients. I like to call them the person with pain, that they really need to take an active role. I mean, that is so critical. They can, as I said before, they can't be that passive patient. They have to be an active participant if they're really going to move from a patient to a person. What we hear more than anything from people is, I want my life back. And I think that's really, you know, that's not going to happen if you remain in that passive role. So, I mean, education across the board, I think, you know, looking at, you know, developing more interdisciplinary pain programs is critical. You know, if we could get people in there before they get so disabled and so deconditioned that they're afraid to do anything, you know, we might have a much better chance of preventing a lot of long-term chronic pain. If you look at the numbers, like I said, 116 million people, between $500 and $600 billion a year it's costing this country, and yet they're not paying attention to pain. And that's why we as an organization declared September as Pain Awareness Month back in 2001.
With the Institute of Medicine report, does it make you hopeful?
It makes me hopeful. It makes me hopeful, and I mean, I'm always hopeful. I haven't been doing this for this long if I wasn't
hopeful. You have to have it, don't you?
Yeah, and I've been really hopeful, and I think that, you know, given the right approach, talking to the right people, and it's just like the way our organization grew. I mean, I never started out wanting to develop an international organization. We did it one person at a time, and I think the best way maybe will be if we can just look and take small steps and put them in there, keep them strong, stable steps that they're not going to reverse back to what it was before, where they say, no, we don't need it, it costs too much, I'd rather do a procedure than actually help the person manage it. I think that might actually work, but we're going to have to take small steps and be realistic about our approach.
Penny Cowan is the executive director and founder of the American Chronic Pain Association. For more information, visit theacpa.org. That's theacpa.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the BioEpics Channel.